We'll probably be in Psalm chapter 19. But just a little background to why I'm doing this tonight. A couple weeks ago, I started doing something with the teens where I have kind of a little container up there. And I told them, I said, hey, you know, if you guys have any questions about anything, if you're going through something, if you just want to know about something, if you know somebody that's struggling with something, you want to know how to give them some Bible or whatever to help them, I said, write something down on a card and put it in this container. I said, you don't have to sign your name to it or anything like that, but just to try to, hey, help them where they're at, right? Be sensitive to what they're going through and their needs and all that kind of stuff. And so I got this question actually Thursday night, and I didn't really have any plans on preaching or teaching on this, but I really felt like the Lord just kind of was giving me stuff on it, and I believe he told me to speak about it this evening, so I'm just trying to be sensitive to the Lord. But the question that the young person put down was, how do you quit an addiction to watching immoral things? How do you quit an addiction to watching immoral things? And like I said, I feel like this is something the Lord wants me to kind of hit on tonight. I think it's something that's needful, and we'll get into more of that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll kind of jump into that this evening. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for Brigham could be here, God, and just for the work you're doing in Japan, Lord, through him and his wife. And I pray you continue to bless and be with him. And, Lord, just right now, God, come before you again, stand in the need of prayer. And, Lord, just, Lord, trying to do my best to be humble. Lord, doing my best to be earnest, God, in my request of, Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, I always need you when I preach. I always need you to give me the words to say and the wisdom to speak. But Lord, especially in a topic like this, Father, God, I pray that you would guide my lips and guide my words. And Father, I would not say a single thing that isn't from you. And God, you would just guide me in what to say. Father, I believe this is an important subject and something that many people battle with, God, and we're tempted in and all those types of things. And so, Father, I believe this is a needful message. And so, Father, I pray you'd use it. God, I pray you'd bind the devil tonight, Father. I know this is a stronghold that he has in a lot of people's lives. And God, I'm sure he would love to cause any problems or distractions or maybe use something that's said to try to entice someone to think about something they shouldn't. I pray that wouldn't be the case, Father. And I've prayed and I've asked you to give me wisdom on how to present this in a way that calls sin what it is, sin, and doesn't glorify anything. But Father, I need your help tonight. These folks need your help tonight. And God, unless you reach down and speak and Lord, move in this place, this is all going to be in vain. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the victory that we have in your word, Father, and that we're not bound to sin or death or any of the things of this world. Thank you that, Lord, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, once again, I'm just, as I pray many times before tonight, God, I need you, and you know that, I know that, Father, and I pray you'd use me beyond myself this evening. So God, help this to be beneficial and fruitful, and Lord, just be a blessing, and Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. So once again, the question, how do you quit an addiction to watching immoral things? Or I think maybe another question that goes along with this is, how do you prevent yourself from watching immoral things? And I think the reality is this evening that this is something that we all need to be on guard against. All right, something that we all need to be careful of and watch out for and be aware that the world tries to shove it down our throats, the devil tries to shove it down our throats, our flesh has a desire to do these things. In 1 John 2:15-16, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what you need to realize is a strong pushing point of the world today is that lust of the flesh, is that lust of the eyes. And it is absolutely ridiculous how much the world today tries to, as I said, shove that down our throats. Whether that's through a TV program, whether that's through a movie, whether that's seeing a billboard or seeing an ad when you're just trying to watch something that's clean, or just going to the store and looking at the way people dress. That is continually being pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed in social media, in whatever the case may be. And I just want to add this as well. Parents, you better be on guard against what can come across your kids' faces. And I'm not just talking about going and looking for things. I'm talking about maybe social media. I'm talking about even on things like YouTube where they're not looking for it. They're not trying to, but just in ads that pop up. whether you're just kind of scrolling down through videos and some bad thing shows up or an ad before a movie, be very careful, right? As someone who grew up, and praise the Lord, I had parents that were very protective and guarded, and praise the Lord put some things in me to help protect me and know that stuff's wrong, but that stuff has a way of creeping into your life. And even with your children, the devil knows how to put it in front of their eyes. And so it's your family, but you better be very careful with your children because the devil has a way of getting that stuff in there. But it's something that if we're honest, we all need to be on guard against. And I'm afraid to say, I don't want to think of maybe even how many Christians that sit in Bible-believing churches today struggle with maybe an addiction to watching immoral things and looking at things they ought not to. And maybe not even that, but we all have that temptation to, whether we're trying to or not, something comes across our eyes, and we have to say, hey, I can't think of that. I can't look at that. I can't partake in that. It's a real thing. And can I say this evening, and just to kind of lay some groundwork, that a Christian has no business looking at and lusting after immoral things. They are sinful and they are wrong. And once again, in case you didn't hear that, I'll say that again. A Christian has no business looking at or lusting after something that is immoral, things that are sinful and things that are wrong. Once again, I want to be very careful this evening in what I say and how I say it, but pornography and nudity is sinful and wrong, and a Christian has no business watching that stuff. Can I say fornication and adultery scenes or things that lead to that on a TV show or on a movie where two people are doing stuff that, hey, ought not to be showed? As a Christian, you have no business watching that kind of stuff. It's sinful and it's wrong. It's sinful and wrong to stare and lust after someone who's provocatively and immodestly dressed. Sitting there and staring, whether it's on social media or whether it's on a movie or a TV show or a billboard or whatever, to sit there and lust after, that is sinful and it is wrong. It's sinful and wrong, anything that jokes and focuses on immorality. And once again, being just on social, that stuff is so much out there. That is a bunch of the content that people make is things that joke about it and things that make fun of it or things that treat it as just a light thing. And TV shows and movies that maybe don't even just show it, but talk about it and promote it and act like it's an okay. Christian, we have no business involving ourselves in those things. They are sinful and they are wrong. And you may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, look at Psalm 19 and verse number 14, the verse I said to look at to start off. The Bible says this, David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." What you're looking at is what you're meditating on and dwelling on and those things you're focusing on. Do you think this morning the Lord's okay with you watching filth like pornography and nudity? Do you think He's okay with that meditation of your heart? Or meditating on two people sinning on a TV show or a movie or on a video game or anything like that? Are you lusting in your heart? Do you think God's okay with that? Do you think that's something the Lord looks at your heart and says, yeah, that's acceptable in my sight? I don't think so. I think that's wrong and that's sinful. Not only that, but go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 8. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You know what we're supposed to think on as Christians? Things that are pure. None of that stuff is pure. It is filth, it is vileness, it is wickedness, and it is sin. And one more spot, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, a pretty familiar verse. But Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 27, Jesus speaking himself, Matthew 5, 27, Jesus speaking says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And you know as well as I do what goes through your mind and through your heart when you're looking or watching at any of those types of things. And it's adultery. It's sin. Jesus said, you don't just have to do it physically. If you lust and you think, you might as well have already done it because it's the same thing. Folks, it's sin and it's wrong. And can I also say, I know it says a man and a woman, but ladies, it's just as wrong for you to lust after a man as it is for a man to lust after a woman. Right? I know men and women are different, but lust, it's wrong and it's sin. And look, I'm not saying these things just to try to be mean or harsh. I know this is a battle many people and we all in some shape or form have to fight. But we need to understand it's wrong tonight. I need to understand and I need the reminder this evening that, hey, I need to be careful what I watch and what I look at and what I allow creep into my heart because it's sin and God's not pleased with it. And I'm afraid we've kind of laxed on some of these things. And I think God help us, including myself, that in once again, in Bible believing, King James, all that kind of church, you know, right doctrine, the things we allow in our houses and in our homes and on our screens that we sit there and watch and look at, it doesn't bother us at all. There's something wrong with that. The Lord said, be holy as I am holy. And that stuff, once again, I will say, because I'm trying to drive it home, that anytime you think of it, the devil doesn't let you fantasize about it or think it's filth. It's wickedness. It's vile. It's sin. But now, getting to the point, once again, now we've kind of laid that groundwork, okay? I know it was a little harsh, but once again, I need to hear that just as much as anybody else. But how to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things, okay? Hopefully we're all on the same page here tonight that we want to stay away from that, right? We don't want to be bound by that sin. So how do we do that? Well, number one, I'd like to say this. I'd like to say, make God's word a daily part of your life. Make God's word a daily part of your life. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You want victory over these things. You want to stay away from it. You don't want to be addicted or bound by it. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. I think these are some great verses of scripture. It says this, Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want victory over those things? You want to prevent yourself from falling prey to those things? Make God's word a part of your life daily. How does a young man cleanse his way? How does a young man stay away or get victory? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. David said, hey, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. And can I tell you this evening, I heard this a long time ago, and I believe it's very true, that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And look, I can't say I necessarily have a verse in this, but one thing I've found in my almost 30 years of being alive, I wasn't saved since I was born, I was saved since I was 6, so almost 24 years of being saved and being in the ministry for 10 years, I'm not going to say I'm going to guarantee it, but one thing I have found is if I find someone that doesn't daily make the Bible a part of their life, and I'm not saying they never miss a single day, right? But someone that doesn't strive to every day be in God's Word, there's some kind of sin going on in their life. There's something there. I'm not saying this means they're the most horrible person in the world or they're doing some horribly vile, but I've seen it time and time and time again where I talk to someone, hey, brother, hey, sister, even people very close to me, are you reading your Bible? Well, I've got not really, and it's not, you know, whatever. And it goes like that, and then a couple of months later, all of a sudden, I find something's going on in their life that ought not to be there. You know why? Because you can't have victory over sin without God's word. You can't prevent yourself. We are weak. We are made of flesh. We fall to these things. We need God's word. And if you want victory, you need to make God's word a daily part in your life. I believe we kind of see some other examples of that. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. In verse number 1, the Bible says this, Proverbs 2:1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." So this is the writer of Proverbs, of course, Solomon writing to his son, but I believe this is a picture of the Lord speaking to us. And what's he talking about? His words, which is what? The word of God. Okay, verse number 2, "So that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Jump down to verse number 11. "Discretion shall preserve thee." This is the one that receives the words and hides the commandments with them. "Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." Jump down to verse number 16. "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." And so Solomon says, hey, and the Lord says to us, hey, if you take heed to my words, if you pay attention, if you make my words a part of your life, what are they going to do? They're going to deliver you from the evil man and the strange woman. A picture of the world, a picture of sin, and in some place, a picture of immorality. How do you stay away? How do you get victory? By taking heed to the word. We see that also Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, along the same lines, verse number 23. The Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman." Once again, hey, pay attention to my words, because it's going to help you. Go to Proverbs 7, verse number 1. "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Hey, you know what? That we live in a world that the immorality, you know what it does? It flatters, it entices, it says, hey, pay attention to me and watch me. And even if you don't, I'm going to find ways to jump in front of your face. You know what the Bible says? Hey, take heed to God's word. Hide those commandments in your heart. Bind them about your finger. Make them an integral part of your life. You know why? Because you need it. You need it to have victory. Hey, when it comes to God's word, read it. As I already said, every day, the best you can, make God's word a part of your life to have victory over sin. Don't just read it, but study it. Okay, hey, if you have a problem or an issue or it's something you're struggling with, do a study on it. Find what God has to say about immorality, about fornication, about adultery, and start dwelling on those things, right? Because I understand, you're like, okay, I'm struggling with this addiction, and I'm in like numbers, and they're talking about the number of people, and so begins. How does that help me? Maybe it doesn't, but you know what? You can do some studying. You can yourself go to some different places and do some research. Read it, study it, hear it. We heard this morning about the house of God. Go to church. Listen to the preacher as he preaches. You know what? Hopefully, if you're here tonight and this is something, hey, the Lord knew that. And so the Lord will put a message on my heart to hopefully help you, right? But if you weren't here, you wouldn't be getting any help. Listen to it. But memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I know that takes some work. I know that takes some effort. And I'm terrible at memorizing, okay? But you know what's helped me a lot? Finding some of these verses that talk about how harmful it is and how much it hurts you and getting that in my heart so when I'm tempted, the Lord brings up those verses and I'm like, wait a minute. I know this is tempting, but this is going to hurt me. Yeah. Memorize it and meditate on it. Take some time to think on it. Don't just read it in the morning and then forget. Actually think on what it says. Actually dwell on what the Bible has to say about these things. And you know what you'll find? It'll give you some victory. It'll give you some fighting power when the devil comes along and your flesh comes along and tries to make you watch or look at these things. How to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things. Number 1, make God's word a daily part of your life. We doing okay tonight? Number 2, pray about it. Pray about it. I don't know, it's getting warm in here, so. Pray about it. I know this is kind of a maybe obvious one and hopefully one we would all think on, but pray about it. Can I say this? If you struggle with this or if you want to keep yourself from watching these things, pray that the Lord gives you victory over it and protection from it. And that's kind of a simple thing, but go to God and say, Lord, help me with this. If you go over to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. First John 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know what I can think? I'm fairly certain that God's for you not having an addiction to watching these things. You're not sinning by watching these things. You know what the Bible says? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we have the petitions we asked of Him. God wants to help you, but maybe He's waiting to see, do you want my help? Or are you just going to keep floundering around? Go to Him. Pray about it. Pray that the Lord gives you victory over it or protection from it, but also pray daily that you live in His strength and power. Every morning. I know it might be a lot, but wake up and say, God, help me today. Don't just tonight whenever you think, oh, Lord, pray for the rest of my... Tomorrow morning, wake up and pray, God, help me today to stay away from it. Yeah. The next day, wake up and say, God, help me today to stay away from it. The next, God, help me today to have it daily. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So what you do? God, help me to walk in the Spirit today. God, help me to be in tune with You. Lord, help me today that when I'm distracted or when the devil tries to tempt me with things, that Your Holy Spirit starts to work in my heart and convict me, and I'm in tune, and I think of some of these verses so that I understand, hey, I need to stay away from this. Pray about it. Pray about it. How to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things. One, make God's Word a daily part of your life. Number two, pray about it. And three, this one's deep, okay, so follow along here. Don't watch or look at it. How to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things? Don't watch or look at it. Simply meaning this, make the decision in the moment to do what is right. When you're tempted, don't do it. When the thing comes across your face, throw it away. Don't do it. Go over to Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. Don't watch or look at it. Psalm 101 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. David says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. Unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt Thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, as you know, we could park there for a while and talk about, hey, being godly isn't just for church. Being godly isn't just for when other Christians are around. He says, in my house, Lord, help me to walk in a perfect way. When no one else is looking, when I'm in my bedroom on my phone, when I'm on my computer and no one else is around, when I'm watching whatever it is and no one else can see, Lord, help me to walk in a perfect way. And then verse number 3, this is where I get this from. David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A froward help, meaning a perverse heart, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. You know what David did? He made the commitment that I'm not going to set anything wicked in front of my eyes. When I'm tempted, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not going to entertain it. I will set no wicked thing. You know what maybe some of you need to do? You need to get a little sticky note with that verse and put it on your TV. Or put it as the background on your phone screen. Or put it on your laptop so that every time you go to, you remember that verse, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Decide not to do it. And look, we need the Lord's help, right? That's why we talk about reading the Bible. That's heed in accord with His word. That's why we talk about prayer. But if you've taken heed to God's word, if you've spent time in God's word, if you've prayed up, you now need to do your part in making the decisions, I'm not going to do it. And sometimes I think we get in this mode that we just expect, oh, well, you know, I'm just whatever, and this is going to happen. Pull yourself up and grow a spine and say, I'm not going to do this. Guess what? That may be hard. That might not be what you want to do. You need to do it. And sometimes, like I said, I think we don't realize or want to realize that we have a responsibility to do what is right. When I'm at home, hey, after church tonight, I'll probably, whatever, eat my popcorn or whatever, and I'll get on. I have choices that I can make on what I choose to watch on this thing. Hey, if I'm on YouTube or social media or watching a movie and something comes on that I ought not to look at, I have the choice right then and there of to keep watching it or to turn it off. And the problem with a lot of Christians is not that God doesn't help them or God's not there for them. It's you won't have the gall to say, I'm not going to watch this. You won't put your flesh down enough to say, I'm going to delete this. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to throw it away. I'm not going to set anything wicked before my eyes. That's not on God. That's on you. Make the decision. Maybe you need to get off that social media page. Maybe you need to get off social media. Maybe you need to not watch that TV show or that movie or whatever. I get it's not always fun. There's a bunch of stuff that, man, I'd love to watch, but I can't. You know why? Because I don't want to set any wicked thing before mine eyes. And that's a choice I have to make. And that's a choice that you have to make. And can I say this evening, along these lines, don't make it easy for yourself to fall to this sin. Don't make it easy on your flesh to fall to sin. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and verse number 14. Romans 13, and verse number 14. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That means making it easy for you to fall to that sin. And sometimes we're real good at making it easy for us to fall to these sins. Right? I mean, we're not specifically looking at it. But I mean, maybe this TV show might have some improper things in it, right? Maybe this game might have this thing. But I don't know. So I'll wait and see. You're making provision for the flesh. Well, I know this content creator, you know, they don't always use the best language and they don't always talk about the best thing and sometimes they don't always but you know, he's kind of funny. So we'll see. You're making provision for the flesh. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And look, I know I'm hands this, but you know what you need to do. You know how you make provision for your flesh in your life and how I do in my life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. Peter says this, 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Stay away from it. If there's a lust in your life that you know is going to fight against the spiritual side of you and against what God wants, that wars against, stay away from it. Maybe that means you have to stay a far ways away from it. And maybe other people don't struggle, but maybe you need to say, you know what? I need to make sure I don't make provision for my flesh. There are things in my life that I can't do, shows I can't watch, then maybe other people, but I know my flesh. And I know where my mind can go, and I know what my mind can lust after. And I have to say, you know what? I can't make provision for my flesh to do this thing. I need to stay away from it. Don't make it easy for yourself to fall to this sin. And also, don't continually think on the temptation. Don't continually dwell on that thing that the devil is trying to tempt you to look at or watch or whatever. Job said in Job 31:1, he said, "If I've made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I think upon a maid?" He said, if I've made a decision, I'm not going to look at something wrong, and why am I lusting after it in my mind? Why am I going over it again and again and again? And that's sometimes how the devil gets us, right? Maybe we at first say, well, you know what? Nope, I shouldn't watch it. I shouldn't look at that. I shouldn't whatever. But then we go over it in our mind. And a lot of times our mind can be a lot worse than what's actually in front of us because the heart's deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And our flesh wants to sin. And so you know what we need to do? Nope, I'm gonna put that away. I'm not going to think on it. I'm not going to dwell on it. We need to fight the temptation and sinful thoughts. We need to fight it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 10:3, the Bible says this, Paul says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You understand you're in a fight today, right? We're in a fight. But the Bible says our weapons are not in the flesh. They're not physical weapons, right? I don't get a sword tomorrow and start trying to fight off the devil. It's spiritual. You know where the devil fights us a lot? In our minds. Where you have to fight the devil? In your mind. And you know when we do it? By casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to fight it by saying, you know what? I'm not going to think of that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to give that thing space in my mind that's going to tempt me to do what's wrong. You got to cast it down. Hey, a couple ways I got three things for you. You know what? Pray. We already kind of talked about that. But when that thought gets in your mind, pray. Right? It's okay. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing. Pray. God, I'm being tempted with this. Give me victory over this. Right? Lord, help me to stay away. Help me understand it's wrong. Go to God. Pray. Maybe not just pray, but praise. Praise. Maybe when the devil tempts you to do it, you know what you should do? Start praising God. I remember a while back, it was something not with this. It had something to do with something different I was going through in my life. But there was a thing in my life that the devil kept bringing up to try to discourage me, to try to get me depressed and just all that kind of stuff. And a preacher told me, he gave me some advice. He said, you know what you need to do? He said, every time the devil tries to throw that in your face and make you think about it, he said, start praising God and start lifting up the Lord. But he said, the devil's going to realize that every time he tries to make you fall with this and sin with this, that all you start doing is praising God. He says, he's not going to want God to be praised, so it might help with how much he tempts you with it. So you know what would be good? Whatever you're doing, start praising God. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're gracious. Lord, you save me. Lord, you've... Start praising God. Pray, praise, but also replace. Replace. Meaning substitute it with something. Maybe you need to start reading your Bible. Maybe you need to start, like I said, if you have some verses memorized, start thinking on those verses that talk about the sin of that thing instead of thinking of that sin. Whatever it may be, replace it with something. Jesus gave the parable about that demon that goes out of a man and then he comes back later and finds it swept and garnished and empty, and so he takes seven devils more wicked than him and they go right back in. You got to replace it with something and replace it with something good. How to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things. Number one, make God's word a daily part of your life. Number two, pray about it. Number three, simply make the decision to not watch or look at it. But number four, remember that God is there and he knows what you're doing. Remember that God is there, right there with you, and he sees every single thing you watch, every single thing you look at, every single desire and want that goes through your heart. And can I tell you this evening, that's a pretty sobering thought. That'll change what you look at real quick when you start thinking about the God of heaven and the God of eternity and the God that died for your sin and the God that said, be holy for I am holy. That man, he's right there with you as you're watching whatever that thing is. A couple verses on that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Once again, it's probably stuff we all know, but it's a good reminder. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says this. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You know what happens when you get saved? The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And that means everywhere you go, he goes. Everything you do, he does. Everything you look at, He is with you always. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Once again, he means flee fornication. You know one reason? Because you belong to God, and God's inside you. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You see here talk about the Holy Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, the Bible says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Right? It doesn't just say the Holy Ghost, it says God. And once again, I wish I thought more often when I'm watching something or I'm scrolling the internet or I'm whatever it may be on social media that, man, God's inside me. And God's right here. Man, that'd make a big difference in what I look at, amen? God's not in you. We kind of already mentioned this, but God sees everything. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Look, I'm just trying to give you scriptures tonight. And some things to dwell on and think on. And hopefully things that will help you. But in Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, a pretty familiar verse, the Bible says this. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Every place God's eyes are there. Every place God sees. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and in verse number 1, Psalm 139 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Man, he doesn't just see what we're doing, he sees what we're thinking. Verse 3, "Thou compasseth my path and my lying down and aren't acquainted with all my ways." Right? He isn't just somewhat, see, he's acquainted. He knows it well. Verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." Man, it's mind-blowing when you think about that. It's sobering. It's awe-inspiring. Verse number 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and if thy right hand shall, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Man, David's saying, you know what? I can't get away from you. And can I tell you, Christian, there's no getting away from God. There's no place you can go. There's no corner of the earth. There's no closet in your house or under the covers in your bedroom, or he really doesn't know what. Can I give you a heads up this evening that God's well acquainted with all your ways? He doesn't just maybe see it. He knows everything about it. Deepest dark hour of the night, messes of your thumb and your lap and your history. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. He can't see in his mind under the eyes of him with whom we have him. It's all, there's no hiding from God. You know what's going to help you in your life? Some of these things and having victory from that God's there. And can I also, as we're talking about remembering, there's no getting away with your sin. Over in Numbers chapter number 23, the Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." I've known some people that were pretty good at things. I can be one. Always true. Be sure your sin will find you out, going to come out. It's more than likely going to come out on this. What, one day you're going to stand before God. Think you've gotten away with it. No one knew. And God's going to say, okay, bring up the screen. And all you thought you got away, no one saw and no one cared. God's going to say this there. I watched it. I saw it. Go out. And then go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse number 13, the Bible says this. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know why you ought to have some fear of God? Because every secret thing you and I have ever done, God's going to judge one day. And God knows about it. That'll help you. That's a sobering thought, but that'll make a difference in what you watch and what you look at and what you put before your eyes, remembering that, hey, God's with me, and God sees me, and God's going to judge me. And you know what? We can look at the bad part, but also the good. Can I encourage you this evening that, hey, when the devil comes or your flesh tempts you to look at those things and you say, no, I'm going to please God, God sees that and he's pleased with that. There's blessings that come with living for God and doing what's right. God knows. Hey, we're going to be judged one day. And so how to quit or keep yourself from watching immoral things. Number one, make God's word a daily part of your life. Number two, pray about it. Number three, don't watch or look at it. Number four, remember that God is there and he knows what you are doing. And then lastly, and we're not going to take much time on this, but know what the Bible says about immorality. Know what the Bible said. We kind of talked about having God's word and heeding God's word, but know what this book has to say about those things. Right? What it has to say about fornication and adultery and uncleanness and all those types of things and lewdness and all those stuff. Hey, in case you haven't gotten the hint yet this evening, it's wicked, it's sinful, and it will hurt you. There's a whole lot of verses in this book about that type of stuff. And you just are blind or you're not looking for it or you don't want to know it if you spend any time in this book and think those things are okay. But know what God has to say about it. And we're not going to go through these, but if you're writing stuff down, if you, whatever, want some info, I encourage you to go back through and read these passages, right? We won't forsake a time. Maybe memorize some of these passages. Amen. It will help you if you're serious about having victory. But 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 5, 1 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. Hebrews 13, 4. Hebrews 13, 4. Proverbs 2, 16 through 19. Proverbs 2, 16 through 19. Proverbs 5, 3 through 5. Proverbs 5, 3 through 5. Proverbs 6, 24 through 33. Proverbs 6, 24 through 33. And Proverbs 7, 26 through 27. Proverbs 7, 26 through 27. A lot of those New Testament ones talk about how much God dislikes fornication and adultery, amen. A lot about how it's sin and how it's wrong and you got to stay away from it. And you know what you find a lot in Proverbs? The hurt and harm that comes from those things. About how her steps lead to hell, about by it the strong man slain and all that kind of stuff. And even it says he that sins against his own soul. And once again, if we would get God's word down inside our heart and really pay attention and meditate and know it, that would help us a lot in these things. Can I just be honest and praise the Lord? I mean, I'm not perfect and I'm a God. But the Lord, this is something I believe the Lord's helped me with in my life to kind of keep my mind and keep my eyes poor. You know why? Because of God's word. It's not because I'm some great. It's because from a young age, I realized this was something I was going to battle and something I was going to fight and a really important thing for all of us. And so you know what I did my best to do? Hey, I'm going to get in God's word and see what it has to say about it and try to study those things and memorize those verses. And you know how many times I've been tempted and the Lord brings up a verse or brings up one of those things? Yeah. It helps. Yeah. And so look, maybe you're just, whatever, you're tired and it's after 7 and you're ready to go. I'm here for the ones that want some help tonight. I'm here for the ones that care. The ones that genuinely, hey, you know what? Either I have a problem with this and I want to get victory over it, or hey, you know what? I never want to get to that point. I want to keep my mind and my heart and my eyes clean. These things will help you, not because I came up with some fancy outline, but because of the Word of God. And so how about you tonight? Right? If we could have a piano player come and look, I don't know if this is a invitation message. In all reality, I don't think anyone's flesh in here tonight is saying, yeah, I want to go to the altar on this message. But maybe God wants to know tonight how serious you are about having victory. Maybe you need to humble yourself and say, hey, and once again, you could come for a reason and no one in here is like, oh, they're going to the altar. What's their problem? But maybe you need to get serious about it. And look, I can say it for me, last Sunday night, okay? And I think we're having a testimony time next Sunday maybe, so I'll have a chance to share some things. But it was the beginning of a message, okay? And I was like, Lord, I don't want to go up. Lord, I want to go up. He's preaching. What are people going to think? And you know what the Lord, I mean, I was in tears in my chair, and the Lord's like, you sucker, you need to humble yourself and go get right with me. And you know what? If you really want help, if you really want victory, maybe you need tonight swallow your pride, because that's where it's going to start, and humble yourself and say, okay, God, I need help with this. We talked about prayer. Maybe tonight you need to say, God, would you give me victory over this? God, would you help me not be bound by this sin? Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, keep myself clean. Lord, especially maybe you young men in this world we live in, and the fights and the death. Lord, I know this is something that the devil is going to attack me on or is attack. God, help me stay pure. Help me stay clean. And that's not just for the young men either. That's, I think, for every single one of us could pray tonight. God, help us stay pure and help us stay clean. Hey, for whatever reason, like I said, this was kind of a teen thing. The Lord wanted it preached tonight. The Lord wanted it taught tonight. And I think it's because we needed to hear it. And so heads bowed, eyes closed. No one has to come to the altar. But if the Lord's dealing with you, you need to do some business with God, because this is an important thing. This is a serious thing. Hey, I need to do some business with God. I need to come before the Lord and God, keep me clean, keep me pure. And once again, I want to be careful, all right? Because I'm not just saying this as one of those guys, I'm gonna get people to the altar, get people to the altar. But we need to get over our pride. We need to get over what everyone thinks of us or care, and get to God and say, Lord, help me. Whether you're someone that comes to an altar normally, whether you're someone who's not, I don't know. But there's something about humbling yourself before God. Do you need to do business with the Lord tonight? As the piano plays, you talk to God. Dear Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight in prayer, God, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you, God, for just, Lord, how it helps us, God. And I know, Lord, maybe this was a little bit of a harsher message on some things this evening, but God, the point was to call sin what it is, and Lord, to help us remember that. But God, the point of this message tonight was to be a help. Lord, it really was. And I pray that's what was conveyed. I pray that's how it came across, Father, and Lord, that these folks here tonight got some things that can help them in their lives. And Father, that's ultimately going to happen, though, through your power, through, Lord, what your word says. And so, God, I pray you give us the strength to keep our eyes pure, our minds pure. Lord, as David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And so, Father, I thank you once again for your word, Lord, that it convicts, but God, also how it corrects and how it exhorts us, Father, to do what's right and shows us the way, God, that we don't have to kind of wander around wondering, what do I do and how do I have victory? But Lord, it shows us how to have victory. And Lord, I pray for, of course, all of us tonight, God, that, Lord, we would have the power to abstain from the appearance of sin, to abstain from looking at anything we shouldn't. But God, especially if there's anyone here tonight, Father, that struggles with that maybe does have an addiction, or Lord, it's something that they're bound by, that Father, you would give them victory over that. Lord, they can have victory over that, and I thank you for it, Lord. And so, Father, dismiss us with your blessing tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. And I pray, Lord, that, like I said, your word would accomplish its purpose and it'd be pleasing to you. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for being good to us.